Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
On today's show, a man who, on this note from Blooper, it says, he talk Padres good.
My only bone with that is I think it was worded poorly.
And our other co-host is a man who would never make fun of Blooper, Kurt Bevacqua.
Not at all. I wouldn't think of not being nice to him.
You get more bees with honey.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Mike Grace and Kurt Bevacqua.
Welcome to the show. We are live in the AMR studios in the Western Metal Supply Company building. Mike Grace here with Kurt Bevacqua. How you doing today, Kurt?
Good. Did I just call Blooper a bee?
I would love to see him in a bee suit. Just like the old Blind Melon video.
That would be fantastic. That's exactly what all of a sudden came into my mind.
He would just look so perfect with the glasses.
It is perfect.
Oh, wow.
It is perfect.
You do catch more bees with honey, though. That's absolutely
true.
We've learned that. We're not on the field anymore. You got to be a little nice to get the things you need in this life.
That's exactly right.
Isn't that right?
You have to be nice to the guys that run the boards.
Absolutely. Or
make you look and sound good.
Exactly. Get you out of focus. Hey, let's talk about a baseball game last night.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of the games to remember. Padres... A good game for a while, and then the wheels kind of fell off with the bullpen there. Probably a pretty disappointing loss for the team, I'd say.
You know, I've kind of listened to the comments, and I've read the comments throughout the media all day long and last night. And I'm going to tell you something. There's not enough people giving this Houston ball club enough credit. This ball club is not too shabby.
No, it's a good team. They got their young guys up last year. Got them some experience. We've seen that before with this team. Get some guys some experience at the end of the year. It's going to pay off the next year, and that is paying off. You've got a big, powerful team. They strike out a lot, but they've got a lot of power. We saw some of that last night. Last night's starter, Colin McHugh, good-looking pitcher. He had a really nice year last year and looked good for a while last night. Buddy talked about he had a real solid curveball early. His slider was deceptive in the zone was what he said. It took a while for the Padres to get to him, but they did eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And to that point, it was a good baseball game.
It was. It was a good game. And they had a couple of guys that really hadn't been swinging the bat too well up until last night, and they started swinging the bat. And, you know, they've got some good young – you know, everybody talks about Altuve and Springer. They've got some other guys on this ball club that can swing the bat. I mean, Carter, you're looking at – he was second in the league last year in home runs.
A lot of power.
But he punched out almost – just under 200 times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a lot of strikeouts. But you know what? This club's going to strike out, but they're going to swing the bat aggressively for you, for A.J. Hinch. And you know what? I credit him with something last night that happened during the game. And I don't know if a lot of people took notice. I know you did because you're a connoisseur. They actually stole second and third base with no outs in an inning.
That's right.
And that was really, I think, the turning point and the thing that sunk the ship in that inning for Benoit. And I tell you what, I give A.J. Hinch credit for that because I think he saw something with what Benoit does in his delivery last year, and he picked it up. And those guys were trying to steal on him. They were going to steal on him.
Yeah, and that's a good—that's as good a point as any to start with talking about last night. So that's when the Padres lost the lead. Benoit struggling to find the strike zone last night. Two walks to lead off the inning, and then I agree. There was a good jump. I don't think Norris had a chance to get the guy. He came up with a quick throw, airmails it over the third baseman, and it scores the go-ahead run there, and it kind of progresses from there. So absolutely agree, and that is one of the benefits of having a guy that saw every aspect of this team last year. Now, he didn't see Derek Norris or a lot of these guys, but he did see a lot of Joaquin Benoit last year.
Look, catchers can certainly help the situation, but you don't steal bases on the catcher. You steal bases on the pitcher. If you ask Doc Roberts that, you're going to hear the same thing. You pick up little idiosyncratic things that they might do, whether it's a long pause and then they go home. After long pauses, they never throw over the first base. After they pause for a certain period of time, all of those things pitchers do. But you have to pick up on them, and you have to watch them for a long period of time in order to pick them up.
Yeah, they track tendencies. Does a guy look back, look, and then go? Does he has to vary his movements so that he doesn't become predictable, and perhaps that's what happens when he's really trying to focus on throwing strikes where he's struggling. He's not going to think about the runners, and that's what happened last night,
apparently. I think you might be right.
Absolutely. So before that, James Shields didn't come out statistically as his best start, but his stuff was really good last night. 12 strikeouts, only went six innings. He got hurt by an error that led to a 30-pitch inning there in the top of the fifth. Went six strong, one earned. He was really good last night.
He was good. He struck out a lot of guys. But the one thing that I'd like to see him do, well, I'd like to see all pitchers do a little bit more, is pitch inside a few more pitches every inning. And I think it would make his stuff much more effective. The fact that he throws changeups inside to hitters just goes to prove how much confidence that he has in that pitch. That pitch is so effective. People don't even realize. You say to yourself, well, you got to keep a changeup low and you got to keep it away from the hitter. That's not true at all. Because if you get your fastball up 92, 93 miles an hour right around where James is, and then you throw a changeup that's 84 in the same zone as how you bust the guy in, I mean, that guy's going to be wailing on that ball to try to get out in front of it and probably swinging a bad pitch in the making.
Absolutely. He's got a fantastic changeup. He did leave one up last night to Lowry, the mm-hmm. one real blemish that was on his record. He hits the home run on the elevated changeup, supposed to be a little more down and away, and he just left it out over the heart of the plate. And Lowry's having a good year. We'll talk a little later. Not going to be having much of a good year much longer, but he did get a hold of that pitch.
He did. He kind of impressed me because I thought he had his weight out front a little bit on that. He did wait on it, and he kept his hands back, and that was the reason that he was able to drive the ball as far as it went.
Couple things about the game last night. The things that seem to keep doing the Padres in when they lose, defensive mistakes. We haven't talked about, but there was the steal attempt at second base. The throw was there, would have been out, but Alexi didn't hold on to the ball. That leads to the 30-pitch inning. That's why the two runs in the top of the fifth were unearned. Those are the things that the Padres have to tighten up at this point because those are the mistakes that just change the complexion of the ball game.
Well, you don't normally see that happen, and I was kind of surprised that happened, actually, because you know that's just not a normal situation. But you know what? When you make a swipe tag like that and you come down on a guy and it's that quick, everything happens so quickly with a tag like that, I think that mistake can happen. And, you know, I think if we asked the manager, Buddy Black, about it or ask Alexi, they're going to say the exact same thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, these are humans playing a game, and things are going to happen.
Sure.
Strange things are going to happen. You never
Absolutely.
Know. Absolutely. So, hey, we're going to touch more on the game to later, but we do have a special guest coming up next break. The manager is going to join us, Buddy Black. So we're going to go to break here, let him get settled into the couch, and talk
right.
to the skipper. This is exciting, right?
Yeah.
All right. Every Wednesday day game at Petco Park is Way Back Wednesday. Get ready to celebrate Padres history with a complete throwback experience. Padres players will wear home brown pinstripe uniforms worn by the team from 85 to 90. Get tickets to the first one of the season tomorrow versus the Astros at Padres.com. I've got my brown and orange socks on today. Very excited. It's going to be fun. Buddy Black coming up next.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the program. Padres Social Hour brought to you by United Airlines. Welcoming to the set, the skipper of the Padres, Buddy Black. Buddy, great to see you today. Thanks for joining us.
Good to see you guys. It's great to be back down here in the left field corner.
We just had a ball hit here. It sounded like a bullet went off outside.
Well, the Astros, they got some power. They can get it out this way. They got some strikeout in them, but they got some power in them.
I think the Pods were still hitting when this happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah, your guys
were peppering us.
Okay, well, that's
that's much better,
I like
right?
that better. Yeah,
exactly.
We got some power, too.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Hey, we're getting towards the end of April, your first month with a relatively brand-new team here. What are your overall impressions so far?
Well, you know, a couple things. As far as the brand-new team, you know, I think that's something to talk about. I like the fact that, you know, the guys are still growing together. You know, it takes a while, Kurt, as you know, to bring as many guys into the fold as we did and have those guys gel and get that team chemistry built. And, you know, obviously it helps that we've won more than we've lost. We've been in some hard-fought games. We've been in every game, you know, this year. You know, the one game maybe when we fell behind 10-3, we came back to 10-7. So every game has been close, and there's been a great dynamic in the clubhouse and in the dugout, so that's helping. But, you know, overall, I think that you can look out there and see that a number of guys are off to great starts. Some guys on the offensive side, Kemp is off to a nice start. Norris is swinging well. Upton, you know, has driven in some runs. Myers, you know, leading the National League in runs scored. So there's a number of things you can point to, and I still don't think we're hitting on all cylinders, which is a good thing, you know, both at the plate and on the mound. So there's still room to grow.
So you did so many great things in spring training to get these guys bonded, to team camaraderie and things like that. But there's only so much you can do. How much time do you think does it take to get the on-field chemistry, the cutoff man, the baseball aspects
of
it?
Well, I think
that's a different story, right?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, just, you know, guys, you know, their communication on the field on defense is imperative. And we, you know, we stress that a lot in spring training, especially between, you know, Justin, Will, and Matt. You know, they'd never played together. And that dynamic of feeling comfortable and knowing guys, you know, how they go after balls. And even, this may sound funny, but, I mean, you hear your teammates. You hear them. And, you know, the more either their strides, their feet, their voices, and it takes time for all those things to come together. And, it, you know, there's every night there isn't a play that they can gain that. So I don't know if there's an exact date that you say that they'll finally they're together.
Right.
It happens over time, but you know, we've stressed as coaches for these guys to really get to know each other as best can, and we're doing everything we can to enhance that.
It doesn't matter what cap you have on. The cutoff man is still in the same place.
Sure.
I mean, that's taught from the minor leagues on. It's going into the gap. Who's going to take the ball? Who's going to hit that cutoff man?
Right.
And who's going to take the fly ball away from the other guy?
Right.
I think we've already seen that this year.
Yeah, that's happened a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one game against the Giants, that, you know, that shallow fly ball in the left field with Barmas, Myers, and Upton. You know, you're right, Kurt. Those are the type of things that in the long run help us when we get through those things. So, again, you know, guys in the batting order, when they're talking about pitchers and, you know, the dialogue in the dugout, all those things are important, and it's been good stuff.
Yeah, but the Barmas play was one that he missed, and he admitted that it was his ball, or at least he might have taken the blame for it. But you know what? There's been great plays also. It's not the misses that we're talking about here. It's the great plays that the outfielders have made going into the gap, and it's also the infielders going back where we all know they're playing a little deeper, and the infielders have to take charge. But if the outfielder comes in, what happens? He's got to call him off, right?
Right. And I do think, you know, a lot of people, you know, talked about our outfield defense as being weak, and I haven't seen that at all.
Yeah, certainly.
I mean, Upton has made, almost a handful of great sliding catches. You know, Myers has made some plays. Kemp has made some nice plays. So, the outfield defense has been fine. You know, the first 2 weeks, you know, Yonder made some uncharacteristic errors that he's – you know, it's cleaned up here the last 10 days. But, you know, overall, you know, we're going to, you know, we're talking about our defense a little bit and some things we can do. But, again, you know, where we are right now, you know, there's some things we need to clean up like all teams do. But, you know, our pitching is going to get on a roll here pretty quickly, and I think some good things are going
to
happen.
Talking to manager Buddy Black, this team's leading the National League in runs, and I think it's fair to say you probably haven't had a lineup like this in your tenure with the Padres. Is it changing your thinking at all in your decision-making about how maybe you deal with a pitching change or something like that, knowing that you've got a stronger lineup that might get you into a game? You don't have to pull a pitcher, perhaps. Has your mindset changed at all with this team?
Well, you know, a little. Yeah, sure it has, because, you know, this team is built, you know, more on, you know, slugging percentage potential than, you know, maybe manufacturing runs like we've had to do in the past with our personnel. You know, you might not see – you know, as many hit and runs, you might not see as many stolen base attempts and those types of things, because we don't have those types of players. We're still going to push the envelope on certain pitcher-catcher combinations as far as a stolen base. We're still going to, you know, hit and run with certain guys if it's out there in front of us. But, you know, we're going to let these guys hit a little bit more than what we have in the past.
Speaking of letting them hit, What led you to the decision? I'm really curious to find this out because it was a brilliant move, by the way, to let James hit last night.
Well, you know, that's a fair question. First of all, he's probably, even though he's been in the American League, our best hitting pitcher. Again, with, you know, two outs, man on second, down three runs, you know, potentially I thought that there was a chance that Shields could put up two more zeros to get us into the, you know, get us into the past the seventh inning. I know he had 90 pitches. He wasn't throwing that bad. And he's, you know, again, he's our horse, and I want him out there. You know, I want him pitching. And, you know, the matchup with, you know, one of our left-handed pinch hitters, I didn't think it was a good matchup. So we talked through it and decided to let Shieldsy hit. And sure enough, we got a base hit. And
brilliant.
Brilliant. It worked out for us. So, hey, thank you. So, you know, the next time we do that, you'll say, dude, not so brilliant.
What is he doing?
Yeah. That's the beauty of baseball.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. That's what it's in.
That's
what
baseball.
It's all about.
It's baseball. You know, one of the early struggles with the ball club has been a little bit of the bullpen, a couple hiccups here and there. It's got to be tough for a reliever to work through if they're in a rough spot, never knowing when you're going to pitch for the most part. A guy going into the lineup, he knows when he's going to get his at-bats. A starter knows when he's going to get that fifth day. Relievers don't know when they're going to get in there to kind of work through the issues they might be having.
Yeah, that's the thing that we're a little frustrated with because we're so spoiled by our bullpens over the last number of years. And when you bring in Kimbrel and you have Benoit and you look at Quackenbush and Maurer and Kelly and all these guys that have, pitched well last year, and then you automatically think it's going to happen again this year. But that's, you know, that's another beauty of baseball. You never know. That's why you play. So there's some things that on just fundamental pitching we have to get back to basics. First pitch strikes, stay away from the leadoff walk, the two-out walk. You know, get the guys out that you should get out, pitch around certain guys that you're going to pitch around. And we just haven't been as fundamentally sound in pitching principles that we need to be out of the bullpen. And that's something that, you know, we talk about daily, and then we need the execution from our players.
And it's funny, the story you were telling the writers earlier about the going back to the Pine Tar game, the replay after the protest was overturned, and Quisenberry, a reliever, knew he was going to pitch, and he really struggled with that.
Yeah, that was, you know, I could still recollection of that. We don't have time for the whole story, but, you know, for a relief pitcher, a closer, to know that, you know, once this game was going to be resumed on August, whatever date it was, Quisenberry knew he was pitching, you know, 3 weeks in advance of a certain. And then when we got on the flight to New York, he was a nervous wreck because he knew he was pitching. Because most relievers don't know, you know, the game unfolds and, you know, they're watching the game and then they see their, you know, they see their spot sort of start happening and then they get their nerves and they get their, you know, they get their focus. But Quiz was a mess. It was one of the most hilarious plane flights we've ever had, giving him a bad time.
That's great.
The bats are a little different now with the different colors going up the barrel. But I see pine tar 3 or 4 inches higher
right
nowadays than I saw George's bat
right
back then.
Well, you can appreciate this. I think with George's, George never broke bats. So, you know, whenever he'd take his at-bat, he had his same gamer, and he'd get the pine tar rag and put it on there, and it just continually crept up. But you're right. I think that, you know, umpires, or, you know, the league office, they're not paying as much attention to pine tar as they did that particular game.
Shields,
for
he got
sure
squeezed a few times last night too.
You know,
don't put him on the hot seat.
Yeah,
no, I'm not asking you if he did.
You know,
I'm telling you he did. That's my opinion.
And I'm not going to disagree with
that's,
you.
There we go. See?
That's well played.
Yeah,
well played. We got a nice question from East Village Times here on Twitter. How many times have you confused Brandon Morrow and Brandon Maurer? You got nicknames for these guys? How are you handling that?
You know, we do have nicknames. Brandon Morrow is BMO.
Okay.
Brandon Maurer is Maurer Power.
Oh.
It's on his glove, by the way. Maurer Power. I have confused those two guys, though. Not so much in appearance, but with verbal.
Well, you got to be happy with Brandon Morrow's giving you. I mean, essentially kind of been the stopper for this team out of the rotation.
He's been
fantastic.
He's been outstanding. And, you know, a couple of those outings have come after tough losses or games that we really, you know, needed to win. So he has really stepped up with some good games. And, you know, like we've talked about, he's got weapons. And you know, he's doing his part for sure.
I'm really curious about something that I think turned the game around last night, and it wasn't Derek's throw. Them stealing second and third in that situation, that surprised everybody,
you know,
that
surprised us too. I think with, you know, again, you know, that situation, Kurt, first and second, eighth inning, you know, left-handed hitter with bunt potential who had struck out three times. You know, I'm thinking, okay, the possibility of the bunt. So I went out to the mound and we put on a bunt play, and you know, we saw the Joaquin threw the pitch and he didn't square, so we took the off. So we sort of played straight up, and then got to 1-1, then it got to 2-1, and we know that Springer steals third. He's one of their stolen base guys, but you know, he took advantage of, you know, Joaquin being a little slower to the plate on that particular pitch, but it surprised us. And you know, I think it startled Derek, but I think Derek knew that he had a good jump and he just really rushed his throw and really didn't fundamentally make the footwork and the exchange like needed. And you know, I think if the ball would have been online, it wouldn't have to have been a perfect throw. I think he would have been out, but I think Derek rushed the throw.
I think it was a game changer.
But that was
both ways.
That was extremely courageous.
Absolutely.
By Springer. So again, it's one of those plays, as you know, if we throw him out, it's like, what are you doing? But as it turned out, they're saying, wow, aggressive base running. Mm-hmm. It worked out. So that's
manager's life, isn't it?
That's the manager's life. And that, you know, when you're a Padre fan, and it goes our way. And if you're an Astro fan, it's the beauty of our game again.
Really great stuff from Buddy. Buddy, thanks so much for stopping by. I appreciate the time. I know you've got a lot of work to get to, so we'll let you get back to that. Oh, but thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, boys, to talk baseball with you, too. You got it.
Appreciate it. Join the Padres and the Baseball Tomorrow Fund to help youth baseball and softball programs. On May 3rd and May 7th, bring your new or used equipment to Petco Park to donate. Thanks. Our special thanks to Buddy Black. More Padres Social Hour right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studios here at the Western Metal Supply Company building. Again, our special thanks to Buddy Black. Really great of him to stop by. Always
it's
a
always
fantastic
good.
Conversation.
Yeah.
He's great.
Always good talking to him.
Couple things that we talked about with him that I want to talk about with you. So you were officially on the Cholula hot seat.
Oh, okay. We could have put Buddy on the Cholula hot seat.
No, we don't.
Oh, you don't do that?
No.
You don't?
No.
Okay.
Do you want Buddy Black on the hot seat? I don't.
No, because you know what? He just takes it with a grain of salt. You know, he expects it. And he's good with it. If you know the game and you ask him a legitimate question, you're good with it.
He's oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, he's true.
Go ahead. Let me hear this.
You know, talking about managers,
mm-hmm.
I want to know your opinion on what is the most important job a manager has on a big league club. What's the most important thing a manager does?
Making pitching changes at
okay.
the right time.
Okay. I mean, there's so many things to his job. He's making the lineup, pitching changes. He's managing personalities. He's keeping guys fresh in the training room. I mean, he has so much going on. And so for you, it's in-game pitching management.
After you see a group of guys like your 25-man roster play, I would say, 15 or 20 games, and I'm talking about spring training also, you know what the lineup's going to be. You've got a pretty good idea.
Especially this year. He's been able to put the same lineup
right.
out there. And it's
will there
great.
Be changes made? Sure. You're going to make some changes because guys are going to rest. You're going to give other guys opportunity. You need to keep your bench fresh. So there's going to be changes that are going to be made throughout the season with the lineup. But for the most part, you know what your lineup's going to be. You know what your starting three, four, five pitchers are going to be, unless something unforeseen happens. Like an unfortunate injury or something like that. This ball club, I don't think, is going to sit around and watch guys flounder
no.
and not do the job.
I don't think that's A.J. Preller style.
I think they're going to be quick to pull the plug on people, and I expect to see changes made if changes aren't made
sure.
With certain players. I think guys will be up and down and deals will be made if the bullpen doesn't get their act together and become more consistent. And I think that's but as Buddy said, you expect too much sometimes when you had it as good as we've had it. And when you've got a bullpen and a starting pitching staff that was as good as San Diego Ball Clubs was it last year, and then you add the offense that you did, you expect everything.
Right.
Okay, these
and
guys
the best
are good at
and the best closer in baseball.
And then you got that guy. Then you go, okay, it's impossible for anybody to ever win a game.
It's funny. When you look at the numbers, they're not that bad. It's a few really rough outings in crucial situations that really amplifies it. But back to the original point, you don't see a lot of former pitchers as managers, but in your opinion, that's the most important thing. It's great to have a manager or a former pitcher in that role.
A pitcher or catcher.
And you don't see a lot of catchers either. It's funny.
Those are the two positions that I think they know what to do in those situations, or they have a better feeling of what to do. When you talk about an infielder or an outfielder, especially if a guy never played at the major league level, because you never get to see that talent on a daily basis at the major league level, and you really don't know what to do, what to go to, what to rely on, what guy can gut it up and tighten the noose a little bit on his belt and go out and get the next guy. It was like leaving Shields in the game last night.
Yeah, you know, tough decision.
You know what? It was a gutsy decision because he could have certainly been second-guessed on that if they would have went on and just lost the game 3-0.
There hadn't been much offense until that point.
So you're right.
You got a runner on. You might need to make something happen. He wanted to keep his horse in there, and that's the difference between the American League and the National League. Shields can stay in 7-8 innings because he's never going to have to get pinch hit for, but last night he hit for himself. It worked out perfectly. Tough decision and the right one.
I'll tell you another thing that might have weighed on Buddy's mind, and he didn't tell us this, nor do I know it to be fact. But he might have not felt real comfortable about the bullpen either. So
he wants his best pitcher out there, and that was his
guy.
That's
exactly right. That's exactly right.
All right. Hey, so good stuff. Hey, this leads right into Joe on Twitter. Would you agree that umpiring last night was inconsistent? You talked about James getting squeezed a little bit, and I don't watch a lot of other games outside of Padres games just because the nature of our jobs here. But you watch people on Twitter. It's pretty universally agreed that the strike zone is just all over the place this year, even worse than in years past. I want to know, and maybe you're a little biased being on the hitter side of things, who is more affected negatively by the inconsistent strike zone, pitchers or batters?
I don't think there's – well, pitchers because they're out there throwing four, five, six balls or one ball to a particular hitter. But, you know, pitchers have to throw 100 pitches every game, and the hitter's only going to go up there and see, you know, if you're a starter – maybe 8 of them or 10 of them. So the pitcher is going to be the guy that's most effective. I think the thing that bothers people that are in the game, the players, the managers, everybody that's involved, is inconsistency. And that's the word that you used. And that's the word that it's been. If you get an umpire that's going to consistently call a ball that's a baseball outside the strike zone, and he does it every single time, even though you might not like it, you go, okay, that's the way it is. That's his strike zone. I know Paul Runge's strike zone when I was a hitter. I know what Joe West's strike zone was when I was a hitter. I knew what Eric Gregg's strike zone was when I was a hitter. And
four,
it was
four
huge.
Feet outside.
That's exactly right. He was a pitcher's umpire all the way. And there was other guys that are hitter's umpires. Not to say that they're on the hitter's side. They just have a tighter strike zone than the other umpires. When you go into the game knowing that, you're much better off. There's not going to be any arguments, and you're going to respect the umpires.
It's funny. This year I felt like the hitters, at least on the Padres' end, have taken the brunt of the inconsistent strike zones. I think we've seen some strikeouts looking where you have an aggressive team that likes to swing at strikes, and if they're going down looking, they must be really confused by the strike zone. And pitch tracks changes everything. You know when something's right on the edge, if it's outside, inside, whatever the case may be. But then, you know, as a fan of Padres history, you're always going to say the 98 World Series when Mark Langston threw it down the middle of the plate and they didn't call a strike in the World Series, that it hurts the pitchers the most.
Well, in that situation, it hurt the whole team and the organization the most. But, you know, it's an unfortunate situation. But you know what? As as much as I get on umpires sometimes, I think that's part of the game that's going to have to remain. That the human aspect of it needs to be there. I mean, we can mechanicalize the whole game of baseball if we want to with technology the way it is, and we don't even need umpires. But I think that would be sad. But I tell you what the umpires need to do. They need to realize that these people that are coming into this ballpark right now and are watching these BPs, batting practices being taken, and guys throwing and all that stuff, they're not coming to the park to see them. And there's quite a few of these umpires that it almost looks like they feel that people came to the ballpark to see them.
Absolutely. All right, really good stuff. We're going to take you off the Cholula hot seat. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap for a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano. Check out the new green pepper sauce flavor today. Great job, Kurt. Yeah, I mean, I think that's one thing that umpires do have to change. And I'm a little more new school. I'd be okay with just balls and strikes being mechanical. I want to keep an umpire at each base making those calls, but they've just gotten so inconsistent. Even, like you said, a certain umpire having a certain strike zone, they don't even have that anymore. It must be a tough job. I'm guessing it's a tough job to call balls and strikes at the speed and the movement, because to be as poor as they have been recently, it can't be easy. I don't want to think that these are very incompetent people, because I don't think they are.
How many times have you seen an umpire sent to the minor leagues?
I don't think it's ever happened,
right?
It
needs to happen.
There needs to be accountability. Absolutely. That's probably the number one thing that could change everything,
and
right?
You say you'd like to see that part of the game be put to a machine, but leave the base umpires out there. They're the guys that are getting stuff wrong 50% of the time.
That's true. So. We've got an easy way to fix that now. Until they have challenges on balls and strikes, then, you know, then we have to deal with that.
At least they're calling bad on themselves, because right. They have other umpires in New York. Those are the guys, if you happen to hear that was another home run ball.
Frazzled blooper.
I know, he loves
He's
it.
He's shaking over there.
And we thought the softball guys the other
so
day.
Bad.
He's buzzing like a bee.
These are such great seats right here that people don't even realize. But this new area.
The down-the-line suite
presented by American
Medical Response.
It is so cool.
It really is, right?
AMR. That's why it's called the AMR Studio.
That's right. We just had this whole corner built out. Amazing view of the game. It's a lot of fun.
And the people that come down here have a great time, especially on Saturday night after the game. When they watch my show right here, they all accumulate right there and holler things at me. Bad things.
Well played. Nice plug. I like that.
I'm getting good at that.
Good job.
Yeah.
As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. The show will continue right after this break.
Welcome back to the AMR Studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. Remember, we are an interactive show. You can join in the live chat at padres.com/social hour. You can also get us on Twitter using the hashtag PadresSH. We've gotten some really good questions and comments. One I wanted to get to real quick here. Blooper may get it up. He may not. East Village Times asked earlier, will the Padres take part in Rady Children's Hospital Celebration of Champions event? Yes, that is the plan. One of the cornerstones of our community appearances. The players go out to that every single year. A really, really moving event, so I think you can definitely count on the Padres' presence there. Many of the players, as well as the Pod Squad Friar, a lot of festivities, really good surf there. Secondly, a lot of people talking about Josh Johnson. He threw a simulated game here before batting practice, 40 pitches. Threw all three pitches. He threw his breaking ball, and some really, really good feedback. We were talking before we came back on the air. If this guy could come back, and it's looking like maybe the end of May, something around that time he might be ready, that could be a game changer.
It opens up some serious opportunities for A.J. Preller and Buddy Black and the rest of management to make changes if, in fact, they want to do personnel changes at that time or just bring him on to staff and welcome him with open arms. I mean, it's been a long time since he's thrown a pitch in a real game. So I'm really anxious to see this guy. I've heard a lot about him, but I've never seen him throw before.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was a Cy Young contender. You know, one of the top pitchers in baseball, had some injury problems in Toronto, thought he got through him last year, and then had the UCL tear in spring training. But getting back quickly, it's been a year and 4 days, apparently, since his surgery. So the plan so far, it looks like he's going to work on the side. Then he's going to head out to Arizona, throw another simulated game out there while the team's on the road. If that goes well, he's going to start his minor league rehab assignment after that. So you're probably looking at four or five starts. And the way Bill Center put it today, he's starting his spring training right now, essentially.
And when he gets out to Arizona, it's not going to take him long to get loose, because it's starting to get warm there.
Yes, so. Absolutely. That's probably a really good place to actually rehab an arm or any kind of injury.
But you're have not to be careful. Cold. You really have to be careful because, you know, when you're warm like that, you think your muscles are stretched already, and they're actually not. So somebody needs to be by his side and just tell him to cool his jets for a while.
And you talked about this question. John asks, when Josh Johnson is ready, how about a six-man rotation and let your horses, Ross, Shields, Cash, go longer innings? I'll put the question to you, but I don't imagine them going to a six-man rotation. These things, unfortunately, seem to work themselves out. At this point, I don't know who comes out of the rotation. Ian Kennedy's just getting back from injury. He had a really rough start, but I think you got to give him some time, and he will have time to see where he's at. But nobody's really going to go with a six-man rotation anymore, so you got to figure it out, basically, right?
Absolutely, you do. And I don't think we're going to have to, nor is Buddy Black going to have to worry about this for probably another 60 days or so. And the reason I say that is because you're going to want to work Josh out of the bullpen and just get his feet wet, get him into game situations, let him throw, let him feel comfortable about everything that he's doing. And then you just go from there. You see how he performs, and you go from there. But when you got a guy like Despaigne in the bullpen, and you've got Benoit, and you've got Quackenbush, and you've got Kimbrel, I mean, wow. I mean, that's pretty good stuff.
It's really
good
stuff.
Along with the starting pitching. And it was like Buddy was saying, you just wait for it all to come together. But you know what? You look back on the early days of when the great pitching was in the Baltimore organization. They never had a great offensive team, an all-around great offensive team with to go along with their pitching, but they still won championships because you very seldom see a team that's got the best of both worlds. And we're thinking, because we got such great offensive players over this winter, that they're going to come in and we're going to have great pitching and great offense, and there's nobody that's going to beat this ball club. But that's not the way it works out sometimes.
Yeah, really cool story. He's been with the team since he hurt himself last year, but he didn't leave. He didn't go rehab in Arizona. He stayed with the team and got a round of applause from his teammates today after a simulated game. I don't think that's something you see too often, so I think there's a lot of guys pulling for him because he's been such a good teammate through this ordeal.
Absolutely. He was around with a cast on his arm. He was at the ballpark every day, and I think the guys really appreciated that.
Yeah, absolutely. One other injury update. Sean Kelly scheduled to throw a bullpen tomorrow, and then he's likely going to head out on a minor league rehab assignment. Probably a good chance for him to go and kind of work through some of the kinks that he maybe had been struggling with at the big league level here.
Yeah, I'll say. I mean, he needs to go down and do that. He needs to get his confidence is what he needs to do and just start locating his pitches a little bit better, and he'll be fine.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about today's lineup and the matchup and everything going on here with the game against the Astros. Formerly the Cove at Petco Park is now the Porch, presented by Pacifico, located on the main concourse next to the Western Metal Supply Company building right here. This private group party space overlooks third base. Reserve your next outing today by calling 619-795-5555. Back at the AMR studios right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
And we're back at the AMR studios here in the Western Metal Building. Kurt Bavakwa, Mike Grace joining you here, getting you ready for Padres Astros tonight. And we're going to take a look at the lineup. The lineup, as always, is presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. And, you know, having spoken to the skipper earlier today, it's kind of good. It's mostly the same lineup every day. So you've got Meyer, Salarte, Kemp, Upton, Norris, Alonso, Middlebrooks, Amarista, and Ross all in their normal positions. Salarte, again, playing second base. A couple more hits last night. You really can't keep him out of the lineup, especially against right-handed pitchers where Jed Jerko has struggled. So he's going to keep it going out there until he isn't hitting like he's hitting now.
Yeah, the one guy that I want to see turn tonight around a little bit is Yonder. He did some things last night that I hadn't seen him do all year that were flaws last year. And he rolled over on the ball. It looked like he was trying to pull off of a couple of ball or pull balls last night that he hadn't been doing up until last night. So I'm hoping he goes back to the left center, right center mentality.
Yeah, he'd gotten his batting average up to a 400, and then he went through about a 1 through 14 skid. So still well above 300, but like you said, doing some things that probably aren't exactly what he's looking to do.
No, not at all, because, you know, when he hits the ball the other way is when he's most effective. You know, and he proved that throughout the first 15 games or so when he was hitting the ball so well the left center field. So if he goes back to that, he's going to be good.
So a question on Twitter from Atinka. Hopefully I said that right. Isn't it time to address the shortstop problem? I like our two guys, but they aren't the answer. Desmond talks heat up yet. I haven't heard much. I think the one thing that we need to talk about, because everybody keeps talking about shortstop. You got to remember, there are not a lot of really, really good shortstops in the major leagues right now. Plus, you've spent a lot of money and a lot of assets to get the rest of your lineup good. It'd be awesome to have Troy Tulowitzki out there, right? I mean, he's probably the best shortstop in baseball. But it's not always realistic to have an all-star level, close to an all-star level player at every single position. Now, I'm not going to put anything past A.J. Preller. I wouldn't be surprised at anything he does at this point. But for what Amarista and Barmas are giving you at this point, I think they are a good solution. If something presented itself, possibly. But, you know, shortstops don't grow on trees. That's the hardest position to fill in baseball right now.
You got a good chance to find a shortstop if you go down to the Caribbean areas. I don't know why that happens, but it seems to happen.
Yeah, but you got to get them when they're 16 and wait 7 years for them to be good,
right? And that's exactly what the Houston Astros did. They've got a guy who one of the Astro executives told me today. I was fishing.
Yeah.
Not literally. He told me today he might be the best player he's ever seen.
Oh, my.
A kid by the name of Carlos Carrera.
Yeah, out of Puerto Rico, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I am really anxious to see this kid, speaking of shortstops, and you're right. I don't put anything past A.J. Preller. He might be able to do anything, and we've talked about it already on this show. What could happen a few months down the road if things just don't work themselves out the way everybody would like to see them?
Yeah.
If Lexi and Barmas aren't the answer, Jed, Salarte, you know, there's a lot of different combinations.
Imagine Josh Johnson comes back at a really high level. You've got six really good starting pitchers. There's some trade bait possibly
somewhere
there.
That's for sure.
All right, looking for paradise? Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious, made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco Park at Park of the Park or the Mercado. Also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Final segment of the show coming up right after this break.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Final segment of Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. Our friend Mickey, a regular contributor, he chimes in. Amarista playing a plus defense and has the fifth best on-base percentage on the Padres. He's not the problem. I would say anybody on the offensive side of the ball right now hasn't been the problem. They've scored more runs than anybody in the National League. So, yeah, he's doing the job at this point.
You know what? If you win two more games and take two losses away, this talk isn't even happening.
Absolutely.
So it all goes with the territory. Everybody looks at something that they would like to see more of in certain situations when the team loses a game or loses a couple of games. And that's just the way baseball is. It's like Buddy said when he was here.
Absolutely.
Managers are there to second guess.
That's our job, right?
Exactly.
Our friend Junior on Twitter says, "Sup? Sup, Junior? Thanks for chiming in. Thanks for watching, buddy.
Sup.
We appreciate that." You say that a lot? Say that to your kids sometimes.
Sup.
Sup, bro?
Dude.
There you go. Hey, real quick, a really interesting situation in Baltimore. The last two games have been postponed due to the riots, and they're going to play a game tomorrow in an empty ballpark. Really, really strange situation tomorrow.
That will be a little strange.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's – it's never happened before, a game in front of no fans. So, hey, thanks, Kurt. Appreciate it. Fun show today.
It was fun.
Back tomorrow, 11 o'clock. Ben Higgins with you before Padres Astros. Thanks, everybody.